The scripture reading today is going to be from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, starting with verse 7. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7. This is the word of the Lord. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath with Isaac, and confirmed to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance, when you were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people. He permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my ancient ones and do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Here's the key verse for today. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the holy beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice and all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation, gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. Amen. All right, we come to this time for Kyle. I just want to say that Kyle was my student when I taught 7th grade math. He was 12 at that time. Been a few years since then. And I had an opportunity to have 3 of his 4 siblings also, and they were almost stair steps. There was a twins in there in the middle, but then there were stair steps after that, and so it was fun to see all the Bouchers come through the school. So if you want to come on up, Kyle. We have a little technical thing because he has a laptop, something you haven't seen from Pastor Ward or anything. Is that going to work for you?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
My name's Kyle. I'm just going to be sharing a little bit of I know Mrs. Wheaton told me about how you guys recently, your pastor had a stroke. And so, yeah, first of all, I just wanted to pray blessings over him and bless him and in your guys' whole journey of navigating through that. I didn't even really realize or plan. Somebody was praying out a little bit ago, praying for direction as for the leaders, as they search and look for a new leader and stuff like that. And I was just thinking, I was like, well, how fitting that it is that I'm talking about like being in this place of like, of in the wilderness of like seeking the Lord for direction. So I thought that was kind of like a cool correlation. I didn't really realize it was going to be so applicable to you guys as a congregation. I knew it would be individually encouraging, but I wasn't expecting that. So, yeah, so prayers of blessings on him and his family and over you guys as well. So I just wanted to start with that. But, yeah, so I'm just going to share a little bit about, first of all, who I am. Mrs. Wheaton already shared, like, I went to school at Petoskey Schools, grew up not too far away from here on Blackbird Road. So this is kind of like my area. Like, I grew up around this place. And so it's really cool to always to be back. And so because I'm a missionary, I travel all around, but every time I come back, I'm always super thankful because we have four beautiful seasons. I'm one of those crazy people who love winter, so I love even when it's super snowy and wild. But I always love coming back to Petoskey, back to this area, because it's just, it's home and it's beautiful. And so I always like being back here. But yeah, so I was just going to share about how I got involved in missions. I went to Petoskey Public Schools for many, many years until my halfway through my junior year, I felt like from the Lord, I was supposed to up and move to a private Christian school, Harbor Light, if anyone is familiar with Harbor Light. So does anybody know Harbor Light? Yeah. Okay. So I told my parents one day, halfway through my junior year, which is crazy because I had done all my schooling through Petoskey Public Schools, and I told my parents one day, like, hey, guys, I feel like I'm supposed to go do school at Harbor Light. And they're like, you realize that's like a private Christian school? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, that means the county doesn't pay, like, our tax doesn't pay for that. Like, you have to pay your way. And they're like, we can't do that. Like, we didn't grow up in that luxury, you know, like we can't afford that. And they were like, so how do you propose you're going to do this? And I was like, I don't know. I just felt like the Lord was leading me to go to this school. So I have to. And they're like, oh, but Kyle, how? And I was like, I don't know. I'm supposed to go to this school. So I met with the counselor at the time was Pat Wendt, if you know her. She was like the counselor of the school. And so I met with her and I was like, hey, I feel like I'm supposed to go to the school. And she was like, okay, Kyle, well, you know, everyone who comes here, like, they have to pay their way into this. And I was like, yeah. She was like, but, you know, keep an ear out. Maybe something will open up. So I just started telling everybody, like, I want to go to this private Christian school. I feel like the Lord's leading me here. I'm supposed to go. And I don't know how it happened, but through a bunch of anonymous donors, like, I was ended up getting to go my last year and a half. I transferred halfway through my junior year and went to this Christian school, which was really good for me because I got connected with a bunch of like-minded Christian people my age, which I didn't really have that super, super solid growing up. And so it was a huge blessing. And so I felt like I was supposed to share that. I don't always share that in my testimony, but I felt like today it was so applicable because it's like seeing how the Lord already in the beginning of my life was already starting to like walk me into this new life. Super interesting. And so then when I was there, I heard about one guy who went and did YWAM, and so Youth with a Mission. And so I don't know if you guys are familiar with YWAM, but that's who I've mainly been with for the last 15 years. And so, so I heard about this YWAM school. And so I was getting ready to apply for all these different colleges, starting to like go down to like Hope College, all these different Christian colleges. I was looking for something. And then all of a sudden, while I was doing that, the Lord reminded me of one of the guys who spoke at about a YWAM school. And so I ended up just on a YWAM page. I didn't know what YWAM was. I didn't know anything. And I just ended up on the page, and I saw a funny video that that one of the YWAM bases put out saying, like, check out our base. And I was like, oh, that was funny. I should apply. Like, there was no good logic. Like, there was no, like, I'm going to be sharing, like, how the Lord has led me through all these years. But it's not like this super, like, the Lord came down on a cloud and was like, Kyle, my son. Like, it was literally, like, a funny video that I saw. And I was like, oh, I should apply there. Like, there was no good logic to it. So I was like, yeah. And I ended up applying. They accepted me. And before I knew it, I was just going to go do a YWAM school, a DTS. So discipleship training school. 6 months of growing and getting a foundation in your relationship with God. And included in that was a missions experience. So I went to Thailand for 2 months and ministered to people in Thailand and saw the Lord do incredible things, like bringing witches to repentance, like street kids coming to know the Lord, ministering orphanages, like so many cool things that like we just got to see the Lord doing. And all this time, like I didn't realize, I was like, when I looked back years later, I was like, I was going in the direction of going to a Christian college. I didn't really know why. I was thought maybe like a pastor, a youth pastor, wasn't sure, but that was my plan. And then through the Lord just intervening, all of a sudden my life looked pretty different. So I got back home. Back here to Petoskey and worked a couple jobs for a couple years. And then one day, I remember the last job I was doing, I was digging holes for, I was subcontracting for a cable company. And so I was just digging holes and burying cable wire. And I remember going to my room one night after doing that. It was just a summer job. And I was like, winter was coming. And I was like, so that job was going to be done, you know, for the season. And I was like, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Like, I'm living with my mom still. I'm just digging holes. Like, I was like, I don't understand what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And I haven't like called out to you in a long time. And so I kind of like got down on my hands and knees before the Lord, like on my face before the Lord, and was like, I remember praying. I said, Lord, I don't care if you tell me to stay in my parents' attic for the rest of my life, or if you tell me to go to China tomorrow, I don't care. It doesn't matter. But I need your presence. I need your voice. I don't care what my life looks like, but I need your presence. And as I was praying that prayer, I had a missed phone call from YWAM Orlando. And I only visit YWAM Orlando for like a small weekend when I was doing my school in Atlanta. So, and it'd been almost 2.5 years or something like this. And so out of the blue, but on that moment, on that day, in that exact second, I was called while I was on my face before the Lord. And so I get done praying, you know, like plug my phone in, it was dead. And I look, missed message. Hi, Kyle, this is YWAM Orlando. Just wanted to say hi. It's been a long time. Sorry, it's been so long. Your record got lost in our system, but here we are. And I was like, and I remember just like looking at my phone, like looking around, like, what? So I went online, looked up YWAM Orlando, and saw another school that I didn't know YWAM offered more schools. Like, I thought it was just DTS and then you're done. But it was another school, like a leadership school. And so I had been saving up to get LASIK eye surgery. And so I just was like, my vision can wait. I need to go do this. So I just, all the money I saved up, I just went and did that school. So went and did that. And then while I was doing that school in Orlando, that's when the Lord spoke and was like, Kyle, I've called you to be a missionary, to do missions. And I was like, oh, it took me like two schools to figure it out. And so I went back, graduated, went back home. Oh, and that outreach was to Dominican Republic. And so we went to Dominican Republic and I helped co-lead like a small trip to Dominican Republic and saw a lot of people coming to know the Lord, a lot of people getting saved. That was really cool. And so I went back home and I started working for a preschool, and I was working for a preschool for almost 2 years, and I was loving it. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to start going to college for early childhood development. I basically will get a full ride because I'm a male working in a predominantly female occupation. So scholarships will almost pay most of my way. I was like, I'm pretty set. This is going to be great. And so I was getting all that lined up after 2 years of just falling in love with this school, with these kids, with like just investing in the community. I really felt like I was like making a difference in so many different lives, and I loved it. And I was like, this must be it. And a pastor came and visited me. He was a dad of one of the girls, and he was like, hey, I just wanted to meet you. You've been here for a long time, but I just wanted to meet you. And I was like, hey, nice to meet you. He's like, I hear only good things about you, like great teacher, really good with the kids, super understanding, all this stuff. And he was like, and I was like, yeah. And so he was like, tell me about yourself. So I told him about my past with missions. I told him my plan for getting ready to go to college, all of this. And then he stopped me and he was like, that's amazing. And he goes, but I don't think you're supposed to be here. And I was like, what? I was like, didn't you just hear like how great, like I'm making such an impact. Like I'm like, these kids are, their lives are being transformed. Like I get to be a light where there is no light in some of these places, like all of this stuff. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, this is where it makes sense that I would be here. And he was like, no, man. He was like, missions is on your life. He was like, I don't think you're supposed to be here. He was like, this is all good stuff. And he was like, and that's great. And I love that, but you're not supposed to be here. I was like, what? And so I like went back home and I was like, why? Like, why would he say that? Like, that makes no sense. Like, I'm about to get a, like, go to college, get a degree, all of this thing. And so I was, but I went to the Lord. I took it to the Lord and he was like, yeah, it's time, Kyle. Like, I called you into full-time missions and you're not going. And I remember that was probably the hardest time it was for me to like to leave, because at that time I really did have such a heart for that ministry and for those kids and for that job. And so it was very difficult. I remember just weeping so many times, being like, I can't leave these kids, I can't leave this ministry, like I'm investing so much. I was working with another church in Harbor Springs. And so I was like, there was just so much. I was like, I can't give all this up. And he was like, Kyle, if I've called you into missions, I've called you to go to leave, then don't you think that I would be faithful to take your place and watch over these guys while you go? And he was like, and don't you think I could even do a better job than you? And I was like, oh yeah, that's true. And so he was like, if you had to choose, you like leading these people to me, or me myself leading these kids to me, who do you think would do a better job? And I was like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. So then it was hard, it was still very hard, but I was able to like let, you know, like to let them, release them to the Lord and go and pursue missions. So that's what I did in 2014 and have been doing ever since full time. So 2010 was my school and I was back and forth with schools, but full-time, it's been about 10 years now. And I've been living in full-time missions for the last decade now. And it's been really cool to see how the Lord used my life and used what he equipped me with in all these years to lead teams across the nations, to watch people get saved from like Africa to the Middle East to... to many, many different places. And so, and even some stateside stuff we've done. And so I was a part of YWAM Orlando, Youth with a Mission Orlando, for all, like for about the last, those first 9 years. And then only last year, I felt like the Lord, he had always put this heart of Africa on me, like to minister to Africa. And so I remember, I hadn't been to Africa for a couple years after I joined staff. And so I did a Nazirite vow, which was growing your hair and beard out. And there was a bunch of other things, but in my covenant I made with the Lord, it was, I won't cut my hair or beard until I've stepped foot on Africa. And then a few other things where I would like like a day was set aside for him for prayer and fasting and some other stuff. But that was like my foot in the ground. I was like, you called me to Africa and I have never been, after being involved with missions for over like 5 years at the time. So then the next year I was in Africa and led a team there. Since then, I had been back and forth through South Africa many times. I think six or more times. And so that was kind of my journey of getting involved in missions. And my life since then has just been growing and pursuing the Lord in that. And so about a year ago, though, the Lord, he was like, you've been back and forth through Africa, but my call on your life is that you would be living in Africa. And he was like, so he showed me the map of Africa, and with South Africa being like this hub, and then I would, you know, be in South Africa, pop over to a nation, come back, go to another nation, come back, go to another nation, come back. And the whole focus and goal was to find unreached peoples, unreached tribes and villages of people who didn't have access to the gospel, who didn't have access to the Bible. And to go out and find these places and bring the word and bring the testimony of who Jesus is to people who've never heard it before. And so that gripped my heart. And so a year ago, I moved to South Africa and lived there the last all of 2023. And so I was there and just getting involved in missions, getting connected, getting networked. I didn't realize how difficult it would be to move your entire life to another nation, to another continent, and get settled while trying to pursue full-time missions and birthing a new ministry at the same time and getting connected with a bunch of locals. So it's been hard, to say the least. It's been very hard. In all of the times that I've done missions, I think this is probably the hardest season I've been in since, because it all feels so like I'm like, I don't know what's going on, Lord. I don't know how this all works together. So that is my introduction, the longest introduction ever. And that brings me to what we will be talking about today in the wilderness. All that to say, this is the season I am in currently. I'm in this place of being in the wilderness of, Lord, where are you? Where am I supposed to go? Where is the direction? I feel like I'm just in this place of wilderness waiting to see, Lord, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? And it was super discouraging for last 6 months. It's been really discouraging. I haven't given up hope because I'm really stubborn. But it's been a really hard 6 months, a really hard last 6 months. And so, and I would always say that, I'd always be like, I kind of feel like I'm in like this wilderness place, like so much so that I took a 2-week trip. And literally when I was down in Florida, when I first got back here, and I spent 2 weeks literally camping out in the wilderness and fasting and seeking the Lord. I didn't realize until almost like right now, actually, like getting a revelation, like in that time he spoke to me, you're supposed to wait on me and let me guide you by the hand. And for me, I was like, thank you. Thank you, God. Like, I humble myself. Thank you. That's very kind. But what? That's it? Like, can you give me something more? Because that's not a lot to work off of. Like, wait on me. Let me guide you by the hand. There's beauty in simplicity. And I was like, can't you just say, like, go to Colorado. There's some people there who are going to connect you with something in Africa. Like, nothing. It was just, I'll guide you by the hand. And I didn't realize almost until like right now I'm getting this revelation, like that is what the wilderness looks like. Like when you are in that place of wilderness, that's what he does. He draws close to you and he guides you by the hand. So I am just going to quickly, how am I doing on time? I'm good. Okay. Okay. I'm just going to quickly share, some references of wilderness throughout scripture. And so I can show you, you can't see it from here. I can show you later. It's like super geeky. Like this is Hebrew and Greek words for wilderness that's found in the Bible. That word wilderness, or Midbar, I'm not going to say it right. Midbar and Eremos in Greek. So Old Testament and New Testament. It's found 270 times in the Old Testament and 50 times in the New Testament for a total of approximately 320 times throughout the Bible, this word wilderness. So if something is showing up in the Bible over 300 times, you can probably gather that it must hold some sort of weight or some sort of significance. And the most common place it's found is, if anyone can guess, the book. Exodus, close. It's Numbers. And I think when we think of Numbers, we think of like just numbers because it's called Numbers. But the only reason it's called Numbers is because there's a census in the beginning and there's a census at the end. The original Hebrew title for the book was actually called In the Wilderness, which is kind of funny. And which is a much more appropriate name for the book because the book of Numbers is the history of them, of Israel being in that place of wilderness, of wandering through the wilderness. The Exodus was taking them from the place of Egypt, getting them traveling, getting into the place of wilderness. The book of Numbers is the history of them being in the wilderness. And then afterwards is them going into the promised land that the Lord called them into through Joshua and that whole thing, conquering and all that. But the book of Numbers is more appropriately named, I think, from old Hebrew tradition, In the Wilderness. I don't know how to say. Bimidbar. That's how you would say it. Maybe. Not really, but that's what it's called. In the Wilderness, Bimar or whatever. Okay, so that place of being in the wilderness is the best representation of what it looks like for us personally to be in that place of wilderness. And then throughout the New Testament and afterwards, people, including Jesus, referenced back to that place, and they would always have this understanding of when you say wandering in the wilderness, you always, even today, you always are reminded of Israel wandering through the wilderness. But if I say wandering through the wilderness to somebody who isn't familiar with the Bible at all, they might think of just some guy walking through a desert, whatever. But us, it's through Hebrew tradition that when we say wandering in the wilderness, we automatically remember all those stories of God's faithfulness, of Israel's rebellion, and how he guided them by the hand to get them to a place that he promised for them. And so I'm just going to go quickly through a list, and I don't have references. I have references, but it's a long list. But I'm just going to go through some of the most famous people that we've found who are in that place of wilderness. So Moses by himself was met with a burning bush. Moses goes again, but this time he's carrying like hundreds of thousands of people, and they're all going through the wilderness together. Jesus himself found himself in a place of wilderness. Does anybody remember when? Yeah. After he was baptized and he faced temptation for those 40 days and 40 nights. There's also another time that there's multiple times afterwards though that Jesus also goes to the wilderness willingly when he wants to get away from people. And so we'll touch more on that at the end. Another person who was in the wilderness was the one who baptized him, John. Elijah, he was found in the wilderness. David, when he fled from Saul for his life. Hagar, if you remember the Abraham's servant woman and her son Ishmael, after Sarah was jealous, after she told Abraham, go sleep with this woman, and then she bore a son, then she was jealous of that woman and her son and said, kill him, throw him out in the wilderness. And so Abraham did and was like, there's nothing I can do. This is what my wife said, so good luck. And then he was out, she was out in the wilderness alone with a son. And the Lord miraculously popped up a well, opened her eyes to see this well that was just in the middle of the desert, and saved her and birthed a whole nation through Ishmael. Adam and Eve, they were banished from the garden into the wilderness, which in the wilderness was where humanity was birthed from them. A funny one that we don't notice is Joseph, when he was thrown into a well, he was thrown into a well that was in the wilderness. And what happened through him, all of Israel was saved through the Lord having his hand on his life. And then the last one is found in Leviticus. They would, after they would pray and put all the sins of the people on a goat, they would send that thing out into the wilderness as a symbol of, you know, like all of Israel's sins are now gone, dead. Which is funny because Jesus then becomes that scapegoat for us when he dies on the cross and takes all of our sins. It was a foretelling of what Jesus would do. So really cool there. So that's just a list of people who are in the wilderness. And so I'm getting to like the meat of the message. And this last bit where I'm talking about how this applies to us, it's going to be quite short. So all of that was getting to a place where we're at now. But all of these people who I just named, Moses, Jesus, John, Elijah, David, Hagar, Adam and Eve, Joseph, the scapegoat, all of these, well, not the scapegoat, that one, okay. But all of these, when people were thrown out into the wilderness, what was interesting is when you go and you study through the scripture and you look at the times, the most common or most famous place where God meets and speaks to people is found actually in the wilderness. It's the number one common place when the Lord speaks to people and meets them in a personal way. It's almost every time in a place of wilderness. Other times it's like dreams and visions. Other times it might be in a synagogue or a church, but primarily the most common way or most common place is found in that place of wilderness, which is really interesting. And so my whole point in that is I think a lot of us, when we think of being in that place of wilderness, it always has like a negative connotation, right? You know, somebody's like, oh, I'm just having this wilderness season, or I'm in this place of wilderness in my heart or in my life. And those places are hard, right? But what's interesting is in that place, it's the most common place where God meets with people. And so I think it's so interesting when we start to change our mindset of being like, okay, like instead of like this, and this has helped me personally of changing my perspective of being in this place of wilderness. Because I think naturally, and it's the easy default to be like, oh, I'm in this place of wilderness. It's hard. It's sad. I'm wandering around. I'm moping. I'm crying. Where are you, God? But if this is where God speaks to people the most and meets with people the most, then don't you think that this is actually a place that we can actually be pretty excited about? It sounds weird, but so does rejoice in your trials and tribulations. But so does take heart when you weep and cry, because that's when I meet you. Like, the gospel is always an upside down gospel. It doesn't make sense. So when we're found in that place of wilderness, it's the number one place that God meets with us. I think that's crazy. And so there's a common strand throughout most of these people, not all of them, but most of these people, there's a common strand that if you find yourself in a desert, and sorry, wilderness and desert are interchangeable, and if you've caught on. So wilderness and desert, when you translate them from the original Greek and Hebrew, it can be translated to either wilderness or desert, depending on. So I'm using those interchangeably. When you're wandering through a desert, what is the number one thing that you're looking for?
Water.
Yeah. Not a phone, not a house, not a car. Those things don't matter in those moments. The only thing that matters, if you're stranded in a desert, the number one thing you want is water. And when you look back at all of these people who I mentioned, Moses in the Israelites, he hits a rock and what comes out? He provides. When John the Baptist is in the wilderness, he's baptizing people in water, right? When David is found in that place of hiding from Saul, he says, the one thing I wish I could have, it's what? Water. And the three mighty men go out and kill a bunch of soldiers just to bring him back a water. And then he dumps it out. But there's water. He provided. Hagar, when she's seeking out the Lord, he pops up a well, water. Joseph, when he gets thrown into the desert, into the wilderness, he's in a well, which is water. There's one person, though, who doesn't have water when he's in that place of wilderness. Interesting. Isn't that cool? So the one person who it doesn't really show that there's like a story of water being with him, it's Jesus. You're like, wait, that seems unfair. Except for the fact that when he does his ministry over and over again, he's saying, he calls himself the living water. So if Jesus calls himself living water, and we find ourselves in a place of being in the desert, who's the one person that you think we should be running to? The source, Jesus. And so I mentioned this a little bit ago, but when Jesus was in that place of temptation, like we remember that from being in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, that's where he was tempted. But there's tons of references also throughout the New Testament when Jesus would be found going alone to be with God. Jesus wasn't putting on his nice priestly garments and going to the synagogue to find God. He wasn't going to the church to find God. He wasn't going to the holy temple, to the congregation, whatever it was, in these places of majesty. No, he went back into the wilderness. That's where he went to go be alone with God, to meet with God. And then he brought all those people into a place of wilderness. That's where he fed the 4,000, and then where he took the disciples through. So that place of being in the wilderness, in the desert, that's the exact place that Jesus would go. And so for us today, I think we're in one of two camps. We're in either one where we feel like we're in a place of wilderness, or we're in a place where we're not in a place of wilderness. But if you're in that place of wilderness, there is a source, there is a stream, and it's found in Jesus. And if we're not in that place of wilderness in our lives, we need to be intentional about making time to go into that place. And so if Jesus did that, if that was Jesus' example of where he would go to meet with God, to be alone with the Father, then where then if we're supposed to be imitators of him, then wouldn't it make sense that we also go there? And so this is my encouragement to you. If you're in a place of wilderness, rejoice. Be encouraged. It sounds weird. And in this place, I told you, like, I got back, and for the last 6 months, I'm like, what does it look like going back to Africa? What is it going to look like? How is all this going to fit together in reaching tribes and the lost and those who don't know him? And I'm not actually totally sure. Like, this is, in all the years of missions, this has been one of the only times in my life where I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen next. All the other years, I kind of had vision, I had dreams, I had goals, I was pursuing them. God would say something, I'd go do it. Right now, it's in this place of wilderness, of quiet. Like, where are you, God? What are you doing? And the only thing he gave me was, wait on me, let me guide you by the hand. But shouldn't that be encouraging? Because doesn't that mean I get to spend a lot of time with Jesus? Doesn't that mean I get to be one with him, to meet with him, and to be close to him? And so that's my encouragement to you guys today is, if you're in a place of wilderness, be encouraged. Jesus is here. Like, Jesus is here. He's there. He's with you. Closest than he ever has been. And if you're not in a place of wilderness, go and find those times where you can be with him. Go make space so that he can speak to you in that place. Because there's going to be a time where you will be in a place of wilderness. And if you've already practiced being one and being with him, then when you get into that place again, it's familiar. And you're ready to meet with him quickly again. Because he's there. He was always there. And so God is with us everywhere. Like, he always is speaking. God is omnipresent. He's with us whatever we do, wherever we go. But taking that heart posture and quieting yourself before him, getting into that place of wilderness, quote unquote, is one of the most important places that we can be. And if Jesus did it over and over and over again, then we should also follow in that so that we can meet with him and follow in his footsteps to meet with God face to face, alone with him, one-on-one. So, and I had way too many scriptures. So if you remember what I said in the beginning, over 300 times wilderness is mentioned in the Bible. So I was like, I could pick one, like, and share it with you, whatever. And I have a couple favorites that I can maybe share with you downstairs. But my encouragement is just look up wilderness in the Bible. Just Google, like, simply Google wilderness in the Bible. And there are over 300 verses talking about wilderness in the Bible. Read those and be encouraged. And look for that theme of God meeting those people where they're at in the place of wilderness. Or that place of where God sprouted water or showed that there was water in those places. And it's a really fun thing that you can just do by yourself. And you can spend probably years doing that, and you'll always find something new. So, so that's my encouragement. Go get to that place of wilderness and he's there. A blessing, a benediction over us. Let's do 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.